So some scriptures that I wanted to look at. I wanted to look at Psalm 95 this morning. Concentrating and looking at the aspect of worship. Okay, let me read Psalm 95, verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. The seas are his, for he made it, and in his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship. So come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And so one thing I want to just pick out, really, just a couple of things, but there's that invitation that God gives to us to come to him. There are so many verses in the Bible where God invites us to come. And there is an invitation from God to each and every one of us to come to him today, but every day, not to run away from him, not to feel crushed and, you know, just like a worthless piece of nothing. It's kind of God saying, come to me and fellowship with me and meet with me and be transformed. John 4 verse 23 says that God is looking for worshipers who will adore him or worship him, who will adore him in, what does it say? In spirit and in truth. And he sends out an invitation to each of us, and he wants us to come without hesitation. Come. Yes. I'm going to come. The way has been made open for me to come into God's presence. We are invited into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the most, in one sense, awesome. And fear, we're told to fear, to respect God. So it's not a sense that we're just coming into God's presence with a over-familiarity, but we're coming into God's presence because we have the blood and the covering of Jesus upon us, that we can come and we can approach God and we can receive, as we heard this morning, his grace and his mercy. But the invitation is that we come, and he sends that invitation. Now, as I'm looking in Psalm 95, there's a call to celebrate, there's a call to honor God, and a call for us to respond to him. And so I just want to look at a couple of those points. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. And I was just thinking and meditating upon the fact that how beautiful it is that there are us as individuals, individual worshipers that are, yes, worshipping God throughout the week and loving him and just adoring him, and we're giving him thanks and we're receiving from him. Oh, that's what we should be doing, and I encourage you to do that. You know, there's so much blessing that we receive just spending time in the presence of God. And the first thing that I see is that worship is something that we do, yes, individually, but that we do together. That's why it's great that we're making space here. Because it's not just people sitting in their seats saying, well, I've come to worship God, and I'm here, and I'm going to sing. It's come, let us. And there is something beautiful about God's people coming together in unity, worshiping, lifting up his name, declaring his goodness. And it doesn't become about me anymore. It becomes about, in the detention center, I say, look, who's preaching here? Because they're all crying out and speaking out. And come, let us worship together. And, you know, that's the reason why we're trying to kind of just make space and make some little, small little changes. It's not about us, about me coming to worship God, but it's about what the Bible says. Let us together come worship God. There is a dynamic that happens when we really come and honor God in unity together. And there's a very wonderful, deep thing that God does. Okay, Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 26. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. Do not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Coming together. Don't forsake coming together. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Don't forsake coming. Come together. Join together. Come as a family. Come as a committed community together. As those that want to give to God, but you know what? To give to one another as well. You know, I'm so encouraged when I see other people just meeting with God. And it isn't about necessarily dancing at the front of the church, but just seeing people meeting with and engaging with and having an encounter with God is so encouraging. And so, you know, I've been so encouraged to see people just pressing into God. Wow, God's really moving upon that person. God's really doing something in the life of that person. It's encouraging for me. And so even as we worship, we can be encouragers to other people, if that makes sense. Okay. So verse 1 also says, let us sing. Do you love to sing? I love to sing. Let us sing. And I want to say, yes, of course worship is... There are times where we are quiet and we spend time, you know, being in God's presence ourselves. But, you know, God is longing for us to sing and to declare and to sing out together his praise and his worship. That's what the word says. And I had thought I had seen it all, but on Sunday night... At CLC, there was almost some kind of like Christian line dancing worship going on, and I really thought I had seen it all. But there you go. It was great. You know, there was fun and joy and freedom, and you know, we are allowed to enjoy being in the presence of God, aren't we? I mean, who wants to kind of just, you know, just be all restricted and just kind of just, you know, it's fantastic. I was playing drums and looking out and I'm thinking, boy, this is, if only I had a camera to record this. But you should have seen Brian doing his moves. He was just, yeah. It was wonderful just to see people being in the presence of God, worshiping him, but smiling and being free and just adoring our God. And I don't see there's any reason why we can't continue to do that personally, but as a church. So the Bible says that, yes, that we should sing, we should come together to declare the praise of God together. It also says here that worship is vibrant. And the phrase sing for joy can also be translated shout for joy. Shout for joy. I mean, you know, there are some things that I love to do and I get excited about, but God, whew, who he is and what he means to me and what he's done, and we've got so much to be thankful about, haven't we? And at the end of the day, it all comes down to the blessing of God upon our lives. I've got a beautiful wife, got an amazing family, and I've got so much, got a great church, so much to be thankful to God about. Really, it's enough even to shout and to celebrate the goodness of God. And I can do it because it's what the Bible says that we should do. The Bible says that we are to participate with joyful, grateful, exuberant praise. Yeah! Why? Not because someone's telling you to do that from the front. Because we look into heaven and see how incredible, how wonderful, how majestic, how awesome, how above all that our God reigns, that he is sovereign, that there is nothing impossible for him, no problem too difficult, nothing. And that actually true worship is, he is the object of true worship. And if we can't get excited about him, then what can we? And that actually is Old Testament worship, shouting, singing, dancing. And I loved what Karen said. She said, you very rarely hear people coming away from a football match saying, oh, that was very happy clappy. Do you remember she said that? Because that's what people do, isn't it? That, yeah, we scored a goal. Yeah, come on. Yeah, they're all dancing and waving there. Actually, I've never been to a football match, but that's what I... that's what they do, isn't it? Yay! Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but that's what I see. That's what I see on the TV. And yes, yeah, well, that was a bit happy clappy, a bit over the top. If you're yes, yeah, amen. Yeah, who is preaching here? Come on, now you're doing it now. Like, that's brilliant. That's absolutely right. I know Rogers is the football expert, aren't you? Like, they but that's and why is it we don't come away thinking, oh, that was a bit strange? It's because that's normal. It's what we expect. Like you say, when our team wins. Man, you can't hold yourself back, can you? The people are out of their seats. And yes! That's it. Okay, moving swiftly as we... You're not a Chelsea supporter, are you? Cambridge United. Oh, excellent. Okay. But that's a good point, actually, Roger. That the celebration is at its most when the team wins. And we are serving a God that never fails, that is winning all the time. We're honoring the one who is the living and the most powerful and wonderful, wonderful God, and that he has overcome for us. He's won for us, hasn't he? So that's a brilliant observation, actually. Excellent. Okay, so Hebrews 1, the second half of verse 1, the Hebrew literally means to raise a shout. So, he's won! Woo! He's won! He's overcome. That expression to raise a shout was used in Joshua 6, verse 20, when the Israelites were marching around the walls of Jericho. And when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, what happened? The walls collapsed. Yeah. And this is my favorite one. 1 Samuel 4, verse 5. We read about a shout of praise when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into the camp. I love it. They're so excited that the presence of God, as it were, then has been brought back into the camp, and they say, yay! They raise a shout, and I love the reverence and awe that they have for God, even in the way that they understood. You know, I forget who it was who stood up. I think it was Ezra stood up and opened the scriptures, and the whole congregation. I think it was it Nehemiah? Was it? Yes, Nehemiah, that's right, the rebuilding of the city. And that everybody stood up, and there was just such a reverence and a passion and a hunger and an honoring of God. Wow, I want that for me and for us as the church, that we would see God for who he is. Yeah, how about having a church like that? Do you want a church like that? Do you? Because you've got to be the church. Yeah, you've got to be the church because me and the leaders are not the church. You're the church. And it's going to come when we say yes, that's the type of church that I want. You know, why is it sometimes that people are critical of others when they worship?
I saw Steve dancing at the front, dancing around. Why does he do? Who does he think he is?
But do you know, actually, in reality, seriously, in reality, we are very rarely too passionate for God, aren't we? Even the wildest flingers. Actually, if you think about it, we're rarely too passionate for God. It's great to be passionate and love God. But fourthly, as long as our worship is God-centered. You know, we can never make worship about us, can we? And we can never make worship about emotions in and of itself. Because we don't want to just sing nice songs that stir our emotions, and that's the only depth that there is to our worship, because that's just an emotional response. When actually, yes, I believe that the emotions can be involved, but it's our whole body, our whole mind, our body, it's every part of us that is involved in worshiping God. We don't come to worship to talk about how we feel, but we come to worship God and engage our body, our soul, our spirits with our entire emotions, because it's total surrender to God. That's what we want to bring to Him. In verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 95, it talks about God's authority and His reign. For the Lord is great, He's the great King above all gods. And you know, our worship has to be centered upon His greatness, His majesty, upon His position. We shout aloud, we sing for joy, we extol the Lord with music and song because He is supreme, because He is the best, because there's no other better, because He's worthy. And verses 4 and 5, I love that. It talks about verses 4 and 5. It says, in His hands are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to Him. The seas are His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Depths, peaks, sea, dry land. They all emphasize that this world that was created, well, it was created by Him, and that He is in control. You know, anybody love skiing? I absolutely love. Am I the only one? Man, you guys need revelation. You need to kind of just, unfortunately, I like all the things that take a lot of money. That's the only problem. So that's why I don't go very often. Skiing, scuba diving, and all stuff like that. I am Mr. Action Man. Yes, like that. But when you go, and we went to, where did we go? To Sweden. No, not Sweden. Austria. We went to Austria, went with Dan and Nori and some others, and we went up to the top of a big mountain, and we just, the views, oh, breathtaking, spectacular. Just, and when you're skiing, it's just fantastic. Skiing through, I could just talk for the rest of the morning just about skiing. You're skiing through the forests and just breathtaking landscape, and you just think, wow, God, you're just so awesome. All that I see around us is just, in some way, it's a reflection just of how incredible You are. And worship has to be That's what it says there in verse 95, that our worship must be about just how wonderful and how powerful and how in control he is. As we think about who he is and meditate upon how wonderful, how sovereign he is. Okay, secondly, in verse 6 and 7, there's, let's look at that. It says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. There's a call in worship to praise and to dance and to sing and to celebrate and to rejoice and to shout. But also, there's a time to honor God. Because if you take one element and you just focus on that and you don't focus, you know, it's out of balance. There's an honoring of God. Come, let us worship and bow down. Guys, when was the last time that you were so in awe and overcome by God that you knelt in God's presence? When was the last time that you were so in a place of worship and adoration of God that you were so moved that you cried? You're so overwhelmed by his love for you. Some people are saying, yeah, last week. When was the last time that we met with God like that? You know, I remember being in a church where there was a guy in a wheelchair. And he didn't just sit there in his seat. He used to wheel himself out and dance around in his wheelchair. Awesome! You see, because it's not about, actually, well, no, I can't get down on the floor because my aged bones won't let me get down there. I can't do it. It's not about that. God's looking at our heart, isn't it? Because everything actually begins with our heart. He couldn't get out of his chair, but he was worshiping God to the full, to the max, in the way that he was able to. And that's what God is interested in. He's interested in people whose hearts are set apart for God. Whose hearts that, even if they can't even if you don't have the words, can't even speak, these hearts are just so full of gratitude and thanks for what he's done. Verses 1 and 2, it says that the worshippers stand in God's presence and they shout. And now the worshippers are humbled on their knees, silent before him. Humbled before him. See, there's a deep work of the Spirit moving. Deep work of God just touching people's hearts, convicting people, restoring people. You know, I had a feeling this morning from God that there was going to be a work of reconciliation in somebody's, or God wants to do a work of reconciliation in somebody's heart and life here today. So if that is for anybody here and you think, actually, yeah, I'm facing a situation where I need a breakthrough in relationships of some kind, let me pray with you today after the service. But yeah, they're now coming to worship and honor and love and bow down. You know, we want to, it's important that we live out as Christians what we hear, isn't it? Because there's no point coming to a service and just having a really nice time and then going out and not being changed in any way and just living as we've lived always. And, you know, that's why we give opportunity for the word of God to be preached. Because we want God to speak to us. We want to hear what God is saying. Then we want to live it. We want to respond to God. And you know what? when we fail to worship, or when we refuse to give God the honor that is due his name, you know what happens? Our hearts become hardened. And God doesn't want that for anybody. He wants us to be in a place where we're just receiving his amazing blessing and goodness. You know, there are two times to praise and worship God. When you feel like it, and when you don't feel like it. Need I say any more? Yeah, because it's not about us, is it? It's about him. And you know what? Sometimes when we actually do worship and we do praise God and we give God the place and the honor that he deserves, just like Pete was saying, he probably felt like he didn't want to come this morning, but he came to church and he got a blessing from God, healed. That's God's intention. And at the end of the psalm, it says there that because Israel had hard hearts, they didn't enter or didn't get from God the blessings that he had planned for them. And we won't look there now, but because I'm just going to draw things to a close. But Hebrews 3 and 4, if you read that, it applies to us. It applies it and turns it and talks about us as Christians, about our heart attitude and our response to God. Because actually God wants you to receive so much from him. He wants to deeply work and impact each and every one of your lives. He wants to fulfill your life. Do you know that? He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be so blessed. And he wants your life to have an impact and be a testimony to other people around you. And because yes, we get blessed, but actually we're the ones now who are in such a privileged and awesome position because we know God. Our future is assured. We know where we're going. We're going to heaven. If we were to die right now, we know that we would go to be right into the presence of God. Instantly, we'd close our eyes and we'd wake up in the presence of God. Wow. Absolutely, 100%, no doubt at all. But God wants to work so deeply in us and in our lives that we can be such a testimony to other people. That's what God wants to, that's the, one of the dynamics of what God wants to do with his church. It isn't just for us to have a nice time on a Sunday. It's so that we can be filled and impacted and we can encourage one another so that we can respond to God and to his word, and we can go out there and see other people come into the freedom and to the hope that we have. So many people don't have hope. They have no hope. They've got nothing to hope for. I mean, Joan and I, we go to see Owen, don't we, Joan, often. And, you know, we often come out and Joan is an absolute hero of mine, such an incredible lady of great faith and just love for God and just... Oh, she's amazing. But we often say, you know, what would it be like in that situation if there was no hope? If we didn't have a hope of actually going to heaven. And we pray, don't we, with Owen, and you tell him and I tell him, you know, Owen, one day you're gonna be with Jesus and we're all gonna be together and things are gonna change. It's Joan, you're awesome. You really are amazing. But you know, God is incredible, and we have a hope. We really have a hope, but God wants to stir us up, not just so that we have a good time on a Sunday, but that we can go and tell people, and we can see people giving their hearts and their lives wholeheartedly surrendered to God, because that's what the type of church that God needs, especially at this time that we're living in. He needs people that believe in what they believe. And they're going to stand up. And you know, I was talking with some people yesterday, and we were saying about, you know, how people are proud to say that they're this particular way orientated, or they're into this particular thing, or they like doing this thing. And but we're Christians. This is who I am. This is what I believe. This is the God that I love. This is what controls my life. This is who I am. Unashamed. Because people in the world they're not ashamed about what they are into or what they like to do. I mean, just with a big smile on our face, no apology. I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm following him. Are you a Christian? No, why not? Unashamed. And, what God just wants to do in our midst, just encouraging us and strengthening us. And it's not just for nice services. It's so that we can be powerfully impacted by God's Spirit. So that we can do things that we would never see or be able to do. Revelation 3, and I'll just finish here. You know, today, I don't know how you're feeling. If you're a Christian, or if you're not a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, or you're not sure if you're a Christian, or you're backslidden, which means that you used to serve God, but now kind of the things of God have kind of grown a bit cold in your heart. God wants to reignite that passion for him, so that we won't be prepared to live compromised lives anymore, but that we will be giving our all to God. And Revelation 3 verse 20, you know that scripture, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So if you've never done that, don't wait any longer. But you know that scripture was written to Christians as well. It was to Christians, for those that had kind of lost their first love and their first kind of devotion to God. Those that have grown apart from God, lost their passion for God. I don't know if there are people here this morning like that, but what I do know is Jesus is calling those that don't know him to himself. He's calling us that do know him to himself. He's calling those that are Christians but need reigniting back to himself. He's calling us that maybe we've kind of settled into a rut of, well, this is just how things are going to be. He's calling us back to himself, to something more. To something more. God's got more for you, and he's got more for this church. You know that. God could do amazing things through a church and through people that are just desperate and pressing into him and are dedicated to him. You know that. And it's every single one of us seeing it and going for it that is going to make the change. Yeah. And God is saying that he wants to relight passion. He wants to give gifts to his children, gifts of faith, gifts of courage, gifts of peace, gifts of boldness, gifts of joy. He's knocking this morning saying, will you receive what I want to give you this morning? And I think we have a few minutes for us just to respond to God. So should we, let's all stand up, shall we? Now, I don't know if there is anybody who that word about that reconciliation, and whether you're in a situation where you're just believing God to restore a relationship, or there is something that you just want God to particularly touch you in that area, then please come forward, and we'd love to pray with you. And we're just going to worship. If you want, if anything that's been said this morning in some way has touched you, or you've been convicted, or you just think, yeah, actually, I really want God to reignite that passion in me, then please come out, and we're going to pray a minute and just have a few minutes of just letting God fill and just move this morning.